You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
To a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very pleasurific top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
That's right, Wes. We're taking a quick departure from TV, video games, and movies. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the simple pleasures in life. What simple things do we truly enjoy?
We're not talking about a birth, a marriage, getting a raise. No, the simple things.
Get your mind out of the gutter and get real simple.
Yeah, that's right. We got some simple, basic shit going on here. But we got a lot of podcasts coming at you, so let's get to it.
Wesley, some big news in the world of video games of the last couple days.
Red Dead Redemption 2?
Red Dead Redemption 2. You were the first person I wanted to talk about it with.
I can't wait. I know next to nothing about it except that it was announced, right?
Yeah, it was just today, I believe, they announced it.
Last few days.
Yesterday, I think, Rockstar did they changed all their social media stuff to just the red background with a Rockstar logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, setting the social media world ablaze, like, oh, what could it be?
Yeah, what do
you think? And then, today they really said it will be Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, I remember hearing about it a couple days ago. Maybe I just heard rumors.
Everyone knew that's what it was going to be. But today was the official Red Dead will be coming out.
Awesome. So,
what do you think? What are you hoping for? What you got?
Well, I'm hoping Trevor's in this one too. I think he'd be really good in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Would you be interested in a GTA 5 kind of thing where you play as several characters?
I think that would be really cool, actually. I think in Red Dead Revolver, you played as separate characters, right?
I've never played Revolver.
Yeah. I believe so.
Revolver was even a thing.
Yeah, I think most people do.
Yeah.
But I hear it's a good game.
Okay.
So, there you go. But, whatever tells the best story. Like, I like how Rockstar doesn't put out a game every single year like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
They wait until they have a really good story and a really good game. So, I trust them, man. If they want to do multiple characters, I can't wait to see it. If they want to do one character, I can't wait to see it. If they don't want to have any characters, I can't wait to see it.
Would you want it to be a continuation of... What is John Marston's son's name?
Jack.
Yeah.
No.
I'll take that as a no.
Yeah. Oh, Paisley Marston, whatever his name is.
I think right now is also a great time for those who have been... I got to play Red Dead. I should play Red Dead. I never played Red Dead. Now that you know 2 is coming out not too far in the future here,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see the date yet. I think it's just a general 2017 announcement, I think.
That soon?
I thought so.
Holy crap.
I thought so. I thought they'd been working on it for a little while.
Steve, my birthday's coming up in 2017.
Wes, I'm pretty sure there'll be a Christmas in 2017.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll actually probably be, if it's ready in 2017, it'll be ready next holiday season.
I think they'll release it around my birthday. Because for me.
Oh, I forgot. I got derailed.
Oh, no. Well, I'll tell you what I'm playing right now.
Okay.
I took a little break from video games, and I'm coming back strong. I'm playing Bully on the PlayStation 4, and that game is, speaking of Rockstar, that game is awesome. And I'm also playing Journey for the first time.
I thought it was your second time through.
I played Journey for the first time, then I played Journey for the second time.
Oh, you did it back to back.
Yeah, I wanted to play through it first just normal, and then I wanted to get a few trophies and call it a day.
It's been about a year and a half since I played Journey. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really beautiful, and I thought it was a really good game, really great indie game, which how much I love those.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, I didn't realize the other characters you come across, that those are other people.
I didn't at first either.
Yeah. So, I was just like, they kept trying to, now I know, they kept trying to help me by giving me flying power, whatever the hell that is that you collect so you can fly. And I just kept running away from them, like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I'm such a fiercely solo player guy. So I didn't grow up with any siblings, and like, so,
or any friends.
Or, I mean, zero friends. Lots of people that disliked me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so, like, I prefer games like Metal Gear Solid. It's like, cool, it's just me and the computer. Cool, on my way. Or like Madden, where I rarely, rarely ever play online with that. You're like, I am a solo single player guy. So I didn't even realize it in Journey that other people were playing with me. And then as soon as I realized it, I did the same, like, get away!
God, leave me alone!
Ruining this beautifully crafted game that they so carefully, like, laid out before me. And then this dumbass, like, derp, 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 derp. Get out of here!
I didn't realize until after you beat the game, and then there's a screen of, here's your friends who you've made, and they listed out all these PSN names. I'm like, Oh, I'm an ass.
I made zero friends.
That's right.
I may have played at the same time as these people, but zero friends.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
So what I was saying was that now is a great time to go play Red Dead Redemption. Because and get it fresh, get it in the mind,
yeah.
So that when Red Dead 2 comes out, you're all ready to go.
Now I'm interested in this. Is Red Dead Redemption 2, will that take place after the events of Red Dead Redemption? Because this is when the world's becoming more modernized, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, this
I have no idea. Could it be at the same time in a different location?
Ooh, I don't know.
I know not.
What if it's just a lamer version of GTA? It's just slower cars? Less things to do around
oh,
town.
Like the Godfather game?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, heard anything about Mafia 3?
I've heard nothing. I've heard that it was a thing.
I've heard there's some real glitchy business going on in
that
thing. Oh,
some glitchy business.
Some glitchy business.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. I hate the fact that now that there are updates that happen to games, For the only reason that I feel like it gives developers an excuse to rush something out to production, because they know they can patch it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cool. We've had, 100 people test the game, and now we're going to release it to 1 million people, and then we'll find this stuff out, and then we'll patch it real fast.
It's like,
I'd rather I get it, but I'm not pre-ordering that stuff. I'm not, nowadays, I'm like, cool, give me a week afterwards, where all the major patches are out, at least, and I can play a mostly bug-free game. Happened with Metal. I think it happened with Batman. Several big name. Fallout had a big one too. There's a bunch of day one patch stuff. Like, you download this 40 gigabyte game. It's like, oh, and by the way, here's 6 gigs of patches.
Oh,
fuck
yeah, that sucks.
You get out of here.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, really, any like AAA release, I fret for that a bit.
Sure, sure.
Lazy ass developers.
Well, Steve, are you watching anything? Are you playing anything?
I know you are not interested at all, but this does kind of affect you. I've been watching more baseball than I've watched because, the Cubbies.
I don't care.
You should care because this city literally could burn to the ground if they win the World Series. You should be fearful for your potential safety.
I do live fairly close to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, you live close enough where the fires will get you.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it is a rare thing. I know that you're not a sports guy, and I know that you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a rare thing that the sports team in your city is favored to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
It is even more rare when that team hasn't won one in 100 years.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but it is exciting to – it's just a cool thing that, like, you feel the city kind of unite behind it, and everyone's excited about it. Everyone's talking about it. It's just a cool thing that does not happen a lot. And I'm just riding that train as it's going.
Everybody but me.
I mean, you people around you are talking about it.
Yeah, and I'm like, shut up.
So, I mean, you're at least ambiently – in it in some way.
That's how I like being in things, ambiently.
Yeah. That's you, old Wesley ambient ambivalence.
Yep, old Wesley ambient. I'll put you right to sleep.
That's you. I'm just saying, man, it's an exciting thing. It's
okay.
An exciting thing. And there is, I'm not a baseball guy. I cannot sit down and just watch like a mid-July, middle of the season, baseball game from start to finish. I cannot do it. It's just too boring to me.
Sure.
But there is, like, when you get to the last couple innings of like a one-run game in playoff baseball where every pitch you kind of hold your breath a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like it is exciting, man. I feel like there's no other sport where the whole game can turn in one instant like baseball can.
You know how much I don't care about baseball?
Yeah.
I literally tuned you out.
I know.
This whole past minute.
I know you have. I'm just saying, there's other people out there that do feel this slightly as well.
Now, do you think the city will burn to the ground if we don't win?
Only if the Cubs get to like game 7 of the World Series and they lose it on a bullshit call, like a bad call from the umps.
Okay.
Where like they call, you know, like it's like he's out, he's clearly safe. Mm-hmm. Would not be surprised at all to see mass riots in the city.
Okay. Now, would this happen if the White Sox would win? Because I feel like everyone's talking about the Cubs, nobody talks about the White Sox.
Well, yeah, because White Sox have been really bad. And we don't need to get too far into the Chicago sports demographic.
I'm just happy I knew that Chicago had two baseball teams.
I'm just saying, whether it is the Cubs, whether it is, I mean, whatever the team is and whatever the city is, it's just a very unique and really cool experience that you probably don't get to, unless you live in like Boston and you're a Patriots fan. It happens all the time. But you get this, there's this like palpable kind of like feeling, this momentum that happens. And like going into a bar where there's 70 people that are hanging on every pitch, you know, and like they're all wearing their Cubs stuff, and like,
oh, it's annoying.
It's the worst.
I would go and hang out with my friends. We try to have like a deep conversation about relationships, and suddenly everyone starts cheering and clapping. We're like, hey, can you keep it down?
But what if you were like, you know, and I think it's really important just to have a relationship that's based on honest emotion. Everyone's like, yeah!
Like, yeah, I know, guys, right?
Woo!
They high-five me, like, yeah.
That guy's got his priorities straight! Yeah!
And they pick me up and they march me out of the bar.
So it's very similar to that.
Oh, wow. Well, now I'm on board.
Right?
Yeah.
Just saying, it's a cool experience that you don't get to have very often. So
we just got to have this last couple years at the Blackhawks. Calm down, people. Come on. Jesus.
Yeah, sorry.
And then before that it was the Bulls. So, you know,
in the 90s.
Yeah, I said before that.
About 20 years ago.
Exactly. I didn't say directly before that. I said before that.
All right. Fine, Wes. Fine.
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 Jesus Christ. So my shows are coming back, and I am proud to say that
God, you sound so old.
Shut up.
My shows.
My stories are back, and I'm so happy. Murder, She Wrote. I think Angela Lansbury is going to crack a new one. A case, that is.
Not a hip. Not again.
That's right.
What other shows are back that you were missing?
Well, Modern Family. Supernatural's back.
Supernatural is back?
Yep, season 12.
Jesus Christ. I feel like my wife has been, she's been watching it on Netflix, and I feel like she has been watching it
forever,
dude. Yeah. Forever. I'm like, oh, is this the, like, I walked through and like it seemed to be this like really, they were doing the little, you know, recap thing at the beginning. I was like, it's like, oh man, is this like the finale? She's like, no. It's like, oh my God, what? Because she usually likes shotgun stuff because she stays up pretty late. And she's like, you know, multiple episodes a night, multiple nights a week. And she's been doing that. And it's still I cannot believe, I thought that show was long done.
No, it's still on.
Good
season 12.
God.
It's not that good.
No.
It's gone from a show that I would sit down and watch to a show that I'll have on in the background while I'm doing dishes.
My wife really likes shows that aren't that good. I'm not saying that's like, again, about her taste in things, because we both like things that are very good. Mm-hmm. However, like, you know, when it's that midnight, you know, I need something before I go to bed here, whatever, like, I'm not looking for high art, you know, like, wife's like, cool, is this mostly mindless, couple good looking dudes beaten up on, I don't know, zombies and vampires and shit. I don't know. Cool. Throw it on. Let's do it. Like, I'm going to play on my phone as I watch these handsome men do things. Bye-bye.
Sure.
That's basically what my wife thinks about everything.
Are any of your shows back, you old bastard?
I don't think I even have shows, man.
Yeah, it's true. You don't watch a lot of TV, do you?
I don't watch a ton of TV. I don't watch a lot of things that are currently on because I hate waiting for things from week to week. I hate it. I hate it. So,
do you like it?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. So, yeah, I've just been ex-common and preparing for babies.
Oh.
That's what I do with the time, man.
Sure.
That's what you do with the time.
Well, Steve, enough about how you don't like anything at all.
Oh,
ever.
No.
Oh, I know.
No.
I know.
No.
We have to get some emails from last week's Top 5, which was our top 5 dogs in entertainment.
Pooches.
Pooches, that's right. And let's see. Ben Birdwhistle writes in his top 5.
Ben Birdwhistle.
First, he writes in, Steve, about Goofy. You should see what Goofy was like in the 1940s cartoons. He was a hard-drinking, chain-smoking, rageaholic whose wife apparently cheated on him constantly. There you go, man. There you go.
All right. See? I told you. There's more to Goofy than meets the eye. That's right.
His number 5 is Toby from The Great Mouse Detective. Loyal, goofy, funny, and serving as a loyal hound for the world's greatest mouse detective.
Wow.
I know. Deep cut.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that.
His number 4 is Ace from Batman Beyond. I'm not familiar with
Neither
Batman
am I.
Beyond.
I'm mad at myself.
Oh God.
Got a punch in my own leg.
His number 3 is the Mambari Warhound from Dragon Age Origins. Yes, I named him Durf in my playthrough.
Wow. What a way to just cut the balls off your dog there.
Yep. In a series from the creators of Mass Effect, he's an adorable breed that is some weird combination of a mastiff and a bulldog who can eat demons for you because you saved his life from a plague.
Wait, what is his actual name?
Just dog. It's just Warhound or something
like that. What does he say his name is?
The Mambari Warhound. It's the breed of dog.
And you named him what?
Durf.
Why?
Because I don't like putting normal names in there. So I just start putting random letters until like a kind of name happens. My main character is named Nimplet.
Oh no.
This is why he stopped playing games with me.
Oh, no. Durf and Nimblet?
Nimplet.
Nimplet.
Yeah. Kind of like Niplet with an M.
Oh, God. What? I cannot wait until the bards write of your triumph. Oh, wait, that's right. You got halfway through the game and deleted it.
Right.
I can't wait until the bards sing of that. Oh, here comes Nimplet and Durf. Making it 50% on their completion and dying.
It's Durf, not Derp. Get it right.
Excuse me.
Yes. His number 2 is Ayn from, or Ayn.
Sorry, actually what they would say, here comes some asshole and his fucking dog.
Thank you. His number 2, I don't know how to say this, it's E-I-N from Cowboy Bebop. Is that Ayn?
Yeah.
Ayn?
Yeah.
Ian?
Sure.
Yeah. A hyper-intelligent Pembroke Corgi who gets involved in wacky space adventures with a group of kooky bounty hunters. He's adorable, lovable, and very funny, particularly when he participates in his own blaxploitation movie in one of the show's episodes. Okay!
I'm interested.
His number 1 is Milo from The Mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what's the reasoning here?
He's my favorite little dog in one of my favorite movies. He is arguably smarter than his master. Not even arguably.
No, not arguably.
He has lots of very funny scenes, and I have always loved the scene when Milo puts on the mask himself.
Yeah.
Great movie dog. F the sequel for ruining all of it.
I can't argue with that logic right there. That's everything true. He says is sound.
That's true. And if it's his favorite movie, I could see why it's his number 1.
Where does the mask fall in your favorite Jim Carrey movies?
Near the top.
Yeah, well, tell me where.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, number 1.
Yes, me too.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Then probably The Mask.
You're putting Mask over, say, a Truman Show?
See, I don't even...
Over a Liar Liar?
Oh, yeah. Maybe Liar Liar above The Mask.
Maybe... Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, boy.
Ah, I lost you there.
Yep,
lost you right there.
Maybe Kick-Ass 2.
That was the one. That's the one that, no.
Let's see. Brian writes in
Brian.
His top five. His number five is Lassie from Lassie.
You may recall Lassie from Lassie.
That's right. His number four is RK9 from Pokemon.
Okay. Wait, did he give you a reason for Lassie?
But when I think of dogs and TVs and movies, I always think of the loyal, lovable Lassie.
Yeah,
nice alliteration.
I feel like, very nice, yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like Lassie is, it's not the wrong pick. It's just the safe pick, you know?
Sure.
I feel like Lassie would judge me during the day.
Oh, Lassie is judging you.
Yeah.
Right,
like,
now.
I feel like Lassie is an extreme right-wing conservative Christian. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I'd be like, we gotta help this guy. And Lassie's like, come on. I like theater, Lassie.
I didn't know your dog barked and farts.
But yeah. Call it. Never mind. There's no good way to combine.
No,
barks
not.
And farts. Barks? We call them farks?
There's no good way.
Not Barts.
Definitely not Barts. Oh, God, no. So just, why do you
I just
think
feel like
that?
I just feel like she's... Lassie is too, like, old school 50s pure.
Because she's part of the greatest generation.
Honestly, I mean, really, I do feel like that. Like, like her and Tom Brokaw are buds, you know? Yeah. She was like the ghostwriter of the greatest generation.
Sure. She's Tom Brokaw's Milo from The Mask.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like Lassie is just like, well, back in my day. It's like, shut the fuck up, Lassie. Back in your day, you ate your own shit every day.
You still do, Lassie. Good Lord.
Get off your high horse. You're a fucking dog, Lassie.
All right, but again, his number four is RK9 for Pokemon, a fire-breathing dog that you can literally ride into battle. I say more?
I mean, that's way better than Lassie.
Oh, yeah. Lassie didn't breathe fire.
Not that I remember.
Although, what if she did?
It'd be conservative fire.
His number three is, again, Ian
really?
From Cowboy Bebop.
Back to back. All right.
Yeah, apparently. I've never gotten into Cowboy Bebop.
Me either.
I think, isn't it only just... one season?
I don't know. Lassie.
Oh, God, he's such a farty conservative dog. His number two is Amaterasu from Okami, looking for a majestic dog. Yes, I am. How about the goddess of the sun in the form of a wolf? She uses the powers of the celestial brush to control the elements around her and has saved the world from darkness. Okay. Jesus.
Wow.
You've convinced me.
Yeah, but what about Porkchop? I mean, that's good and all.
It's a walking nightmare. His number one is Polt from Monster Musume. I apologize for murdering these names, guys. He said, if you had Goofy on the list, I can have Polt here. Fine. Jesus.
God.
Good Lord.
What a conservative / aggressive list.
Yeah. He's energetic, cheerful, with a friendly personality, and has that burning sense of determination. Not to mention she also owns a number of gyms and is very wealthy.
Well, I mean, for knowing nothing about it, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to hire her.
Yeah, why not?
All right, guys, that is all we have time for. We have a big top five to get to you.
Almost too big.
Almost too big because it is filled with the most simplest of things, Wes.
What is it?
It is the simple pleasures in life.
Ah, that's right. Now, this is different because it's not in TV, movies, and video games before you yell at me.
That's right.
That
for once, Wes, for once,
oh, God,
it isn't. We're talking about the things in your day that are, they're just, maybe nobody else likes this thing. But when it happens to you, you're like, ah, yeah. The example I'm going to give you is this, a small one. This will make my list. It's kind of an honorable mention just to get you in the spirit of things here. Let's say you're washing your dishes. You're washing a cup. And it slips out of your hand. It's going to tumble to the ground and explode. And what do you do?
It's not all your cups are loaded with gunpowder.
Nitroglycerin glasses.
Yeah.
Sounded cool. Horrible decision. That's why I'm on Luna 6. But like this glass is falling to the ground. What do? You deflect it with your foot. Ah, doesn't hit the ground. Rolls off to the side. Like ah, nice.
Yeah.
I have some sort of sick pleasure in not letting things hit the ground. And like just like huh, even just a deflection. I always go for the catch. But if not, even just a deflection.
Sure.
Like if the hand misses, foot hard, kick save.
Sure.
Things, just, you know, little things that in your day you're like, yeah. All right.
See, I had a lot of trouble with this list because I don't register these simple pleasures until they happen to me.
Wes, you gotta use that noggin. You gotta use your imagination.
It hurts when I think.
I know. You know what? Then let me start us off.
Oh, good.
Let me start us off.
Oh, good.
I'm going super basic, man. It's I think a lot of gentlemen and ladies as well that have been in longer term relationships will commiserate with mm-hmm. this one here. The scenario is as such. Hey, you know what? I got a thing going on this weekend. I want to be out of town. I guess you're on your own this weekend. Bum, ba, ba, ba. Do I detect pizza, beer, and video games? You're goddamn right I do. So, like, I think we all have that moment of, like, it brings you back to being a kid in
yeah,
a way,
yeah.
You know, where, like, when my wife leaves town, I don't have these, you know, like, debaucherous ideas of, like, girl hitting the strip club and, you know, like, what, like, doing lines of cocaine.
Yeah!
As soon as the door closes, I'm like, cool, going into the boxers, pooch is up on the couch, pizza is in the oven, got a nice six-pack of something to drink, and we are shotgunning a game. Like, I don't care what the game is, we are on point for the next 12 to 16 hours. We're doing it. So, and again, this is talking about that initial surge, because this may happen to other people as well, where after you've eaten more pizza than you should probably eat by yourself.
You've eaten an entire pizza.
You've eaten the whole pizza.
Yeah.
After your maybe one more beer than you should have had.
Sure.
And you realize.
You drank the entire six pack.
You're lying to yourself. You bought a 12-pack.
Yeah, there you go.
You drank several beers, and you get to one boss, and you just keep dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I do kind of wish my wife was back. Now it's like 16 hours later. You're like, okay, that was a good bender.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Now what's the worst, though, is when, you know, your wife or your long-term – or your husband or your long-term boyfriend or girlfriend leaves – and they're like, yeah, the pizza in the oven, the video game's fired up. And then they, like, oh, my flight was canceled. And they come back,
man.
And you're like, get out of here.
It's, no, no,
no.
Because it may not be video games. Like, for some people, it may be like, cool, I'm going to shotgun this TV series that I wanted to watch.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You know, whatever your thing is. That little excuse of, like, cool. This is my time to do what I want to do.
Like, I am going to be a slob.
Yeah.
Because you can be comfortable around your long-term significant other.
Yeah.
But when that significant other leaves, you will turn into an animal.
You do. You push it to the tens. You know, like I burp and fart in front of my wife. But, like, when she's not home, I'm like,
shit on the couch.
And you know what? The secret, as long as you clean it all up before she gets home, then it's all good. It's all good, man. It's just this little window of, like, recess.
Yeah.
That's all you want. I want to be in school. I want to get my degree. I want to learn. But I want to have a recess every now and again.
Oh, of course, man.
That's all I want.
When they come back a couple hours later and it's like, oh, yeah, there's shit all over the couch. You were supposed to be here!
That's right.
Like, what? Aren't you glad that we can spend the weekend together? No! No!
No, I am not! But I love you. Don't talk about the shit on the couch.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
So that's my number five. Pizza, beer, video games, little recess time.
That's a good one. My number five, it just happened today. I just signed Sammy up for BarkBox, so this came to me today. I imagine this is how, like, parents of young children feel around Christmas time. Getting your dog something, like a toy or a new treat, and then just you just watch him be so excited, and like Sammy's so excited, he just like he does all the tricks he knows so he can get the treat or the toy. Like he's up like a meerkat. Oh, that doesn't work. Oh, I'm gonna roll over. Oh, that doesn't work. I'm gonna play dead. I'm gonna sit. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna look at you. But he's like shaking because he knows there's like something in it for him, and just seeing that pure joy in my dog's body, just like he can't even contain it. He's a grumpy old man 95% of the time, but that 5% of the time, that makes him sound like a terrible dog parent. 5% of the time, I do something nice for him. No. But like, you know, that percentage of the time when I bring home something like a bark box, like a treat, like a toy, and he gets so excited, he's like a little kid. And just seeing that joy brings me such pleasure.
I thought about this as well, and I would imagine in, you know, if you ask me a year from now, it will probably be, you know, doing something similar with my daughter, you know, something of, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, my pooch, similar, you know, same thing. I thought about that too. But my favorite thing about the pooch thing is, like, we'll go to the beach. We'll do, like, she'll chase her toy for a while. We'll do this, whatever. And then we'll get back to the house. And she looks up at me with this, like kind of, like, panting face because we've had, you know, like, she's got a good workout, but she's got this big smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, that was great. I'm like, you're goddamn right that was great. You conservative lassie bitch. No, man, I understand it. I understand it well.
Good.
All right.
That's my number five.
Number four. Okay, this one, number five, was a kind of a universal thing, I feel, mostly.
Sure.
A lot of people are going to side with that.
Sure.
Number four for me, we're getting narrow.
Oh,
We're getting narrow. The rest of these get pretty specific.
Mine are all very broad.
Nah, this is pretty specific.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if anyone else besides me and my mother take great pride and delight in this. And it is getting a car perfectly packed.
Interesting.
Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Cool, we're getting ready to go on the family vacation, whatever. Like, I've been this way for years. So like, I'm already, my dad card is like, I did AP classes for this. So like, my dad card, I already cleared it. I'm good. I'm ready to go for this. I'm not even a dad, but I got it.
Yeah.
So you bring all the stuff to the door the day we're leaving. All the suitcases, all the things we're bringing, the boxes, the games, the this, whatever. And then the car becomes my canvas and the items my paint.
Sure.
And I get every fucking thing you could possibly want to bring on vacation in that car, nice and tight and ready to go. And when it's done, I close the door. I'm like, yes, you didn't think all of that stuff could fit in this car. Well, guess what? It can. And there's more room. There's room for more because I know there's other stuff you didn't bring down here. I know it. You're like, oops, I forgot this. That's right. There's still room. There's still room. Because I packed it so well.
It's like a 3D real-life version of Tetris.
It is.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like these. Yeah. This space geometry puzzles.
It is phenomenal to me. I love, like, then you open up the, like, the hatch, or you open up the trunk of your car, and you look, and it is just, like, one solid mass with no brakes. You're like, what's in there? Like,
everything. I packed our apartment just to prove I could.
It is absolutely handed down from my grandmother to my mother to me.
Yeah.
I have carried the torch and I love it.
Sure.
So when we have this adorable little girl, hopefully she's adorable, we'll find out.
I'll be the judge.
Well, thank you, Wes.
Yeah.
When we have this adorable little girl, it's going to be my stuff, which is going to be minimal, my wife's stuff, which will be middling, and then it'll be my daughter's stuff, which will be a ton of crap.
Yeah.
And there's still got to be room for the pooch, and I will make it work. As God is my witness, I will make it work.
Now, do you take the same pleasure when you pack a suitcase?
No.
Okay.
Because I handle that differently. The suitcase, basically, I get a little sliver of the suitcase is really what it is. I'm like, Holly, you throw whatever the fuck you want in there. As long as the thing closes, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. Because it doesn't, like, change the suitcase size is the suitcase size, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, although when we're leaving the vacation, you have, like, the dirty clothes and all that stuff. Like, I'm like, cool. I'm going to pack all everything I can get in this suitcase. I'm going to do it.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because when you're on your way back, like, things have already been worn. You're not worried if it gets wrinkly or this or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's too much girly clothes in the meantime to, like, worry. I'm like, no, 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 that has to – I'm like, fine, 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 whatever. I don't care. As long as it's in the suitcase, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just put it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
On the way back, though, I'm like, cool. I'm going to fit everything we packed times two.
I bought extra stuff just to prove that we could.
I made a mirror image of everything we own just to prove I can do it. So that's my number four, man. Maybe people don't get down with this, and it's cool. But I take great pleasure in opening that trunk and seeing everything tightly packed.
Sure, sure. Now, my number four, I think I don't quite know how to phrase it. It's showing that I have good, I have quick reflexes, and I have good hand-eye coordination. Example of this is when I stage managed for a theater production. We took a break and we all sit in the circle and we threw two frisbees back and forth. And the game was to try and catch them both. I caught them both most times. And I was
with right and left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? And nice. People were like, "Oh!" every single time.
Panty dropper.
Yeah, exactly. It was tough moving around while someone was schlobbing on the oar. You know what? But I made it work.
You caught two frisbees, and instantly everyone's like, "Hop, hop!" Excuse me, sir. I need to suckle upon your vena. Because that's how I like girls to say it. Suckle upon Jan Wiener. That's
not that's only are they old-timey, they're slightly German.
That's the kind of dirty talk I get down with.
Your wife is a lucky lady.
She knows what I like.
Yeah. Oh,
I like to look at a tightly packed trunk and be like, "Now, suckle upon mine vena." She's like, "God, I've made a huge mistake."
Although this tightly packed car, gotta be honest, it's doing something for me.
I gotta say, that part's pretty good. Well, all right, here we go.
Yeah, so that's an example of my hand-eye coordination, but my quick reflexes as well. A good example of this, I can't think of a specific one, but like someone's like, "Think fast," they throw something at me,
yeah, like smack right
like,
in the
what? And then you catch it out of the air, and they're like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "I know."
But you do that catch where like the head doesn't move at all, just the hand comes up and grabs it, brings it.
Oh
like,
yeah,
what? What of it?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, like it's no big deal. Like what?
What?
I'm just a superhero.
Why? What? Why yeah. can't I be a normal person like you? I'm cursed with these gifts.
I love those moments.
Yeah.
Because they're unexpected. You wouldn't really expect that of me.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm surprisingly slow.
But you are shockingly good at throwing and catching a frisbee.
That's right.
Can't throw a football to save your life.
Nope.
Cannot shoot a basketball to save an orphan from a burning building.
Nope, that orphan's done, my friend.
It's like, Wes, you've got 10 chances. Could you just make one free throw? And we will not murder this orphan.
Sorry. Might as well just kill him now.
You don't even try. Like, nah, kill her.
Sorry.
She's dead.
Can already
not
tell.
Not even Lassie can save this one.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, get out of here.
Fart, Lassie. Come on.
Come on. That's okay. My number four.
All right. And obviously, with a bonus point in front of attractive single ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Of course.
Who else is going to schlubber upon
mein Vina? I can't stop myself.
It's like it's a magnet and I made of metal.
All right. Number three. So I love myself a good fail video.
Just stop right there. I love myself.
I love myself. Go on, Wes. You're number three. Okay. I love myself a good fail video.
Yeah.
But specifically, there's one thing that always brings joy to my face, and that is little kids getting hit in the head with balls. Various size balls. My favorite are the giant, like, exercise balls that you do sit-ups on and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, kids getting hit with, little kids getting hit with those is the best.
Sure.
It brings a smile to my face in ways very, very few things can do.
I just imagine when your poor child learns how to walk.
Oh, yeah.
You're just going to be pelting her with different sizes of balls.
I'm going to make it look like an accident a lot. A lot. But they're going to be specific. I know I'm going to get caught. But, like, we're going to be at the park. She's going to be, like, toddling. I'll be like, hua! And just, like, throw a ball. And there's going to be, of course, some, like, gorgeous single woman walking by, like, seeing me attack my child with an inflatable workout ball. I'll be like, no, it was, she likes it.
This is a game we play.
No, she was supposed to, I just keep running.
Her crying is just the next part of the game.
You know, like the ones where the dad, like, they're playing soccer together, like they kick the ball and it hits the goalpost, it comes back and hits the kid in the head.
Yeah.
Like those, I mean, probably about once a month and a half-ish or so, my wife and I will sit down, we'll just throw on a couple fail videos for like 20 minutes, not necessarily focusing on this, just general fail videos. Just
sure.
Because it's just basically watching America's Funniest Home Videos is all you're watching. Yeah, really. Yeah. About every month and a half, we check it out. But whenever it gets a kid getting hit by a ball, oh, man, it's just the best.
It's pretty great.
It's just the best.
I'm sure you've seen the video of the basketball. The guy tries to make a whole court shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. It's one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Steve, I've never seen you more excited.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite things. And the little kid just, like, goes out onto the court and under the hoop, and the guy misses the hoop by, like, 8 feet and hits the kid in the head on a full court shot.
That's right. And the kid kind of does this weird midair cartwheel because he got hit in the head from a full court shot.
It is phenomenal. One of my favorite videos of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt about it.
I don't know what happened to that kid.
Oh, he's dead. Super dead.
Yeah, he was an orphan, and
that was the shot to save his life.
Yeah, that's right.
And unfortunately, it directly took his life.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I like fail videos in general. It is a simple pleasure of mine.
Yeah.
However, specifically, little kids getting hit with balls.
Okay.
Oh, man. Just the best.
All right. Well, my number three is... monotonous tasks. Let me explain.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Oh. This is very specific to me. Yeah. It just came to me. What I don't like doing it for too long, but for like 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes of doing a monotonous task and then having something in the background is very meditative for me.
So give me an example of one of your monotonous tasks.
Like doing dishes. I know you hate the dishes. Or as when I was a young child, I used to cut my grandmother's coupons for like 20 to 30 minutes, and I watched Comedy Central, a stand-up special. Like a monotonous task like that.
Okay.
Because again, it's very meditative, it's very peaceful, and you can have something on in the background you can laugh at as well.
You like something a little bit monotonous, also repetitive in the action that you're doing.
Yes.
Okay, a mundane... kind of thing going on. Okay.
Now, I can't do it for very long because I'm a pretty restless person in general. But for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, I love doing monotonous tasks.
What was your most recent monotonous task you completed?
I just did the dishes today.
Give me more. Give me other than dishes. I want to pry into the monotonous life of Wes.
my day job can be pretty monotonous at times when it's just entering data.
Okay.
And it's just when you move data from this Excel spreadsheet into a database and you just keep doing that, and it just gets very meditative.
Sure.
And
okay.
You have a podcast on and it's great.
Okay. Yeah. I understand that. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, a quick work-related thing that I enjoy very much is I'm on the phone all the time during the day taking orders and trying to sell stuff and whatever. So I've got my, like, notebook there that I'm always writing down people's names and this, what they need, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, I've got a to-do list creates itself.
Mm-hmm.
There is something just oh so satisfying about crossing things off of a list.
Sure.
If I thought about it before, it may make it up into like the number five is crossing things off of lists.
Sure.
Oh my God. Oh yes.
Oh yes.
If the number one thing on my list is to pack for vacation, and then I pack for vacation and cross it off of a list. Oh, and then to celebrate, I get to kick a ball at a kid.
Yeah.
You can have the rest of the list if I get to do that.
That's right. You can leave and then I'll have pizza, beer, and video games.
I'm like, cool. I packed you for your vacation. See ya. Now we're cooking with fire, Wes.
That's right.
Now, although there are a couple other things I would like to add before this meal is done. Moving on to my number two. My number two is getting a hearty laugh from somebody, slash, ideally, a spit take.
See, this goes into my number two, but let's Excellent. Really dive into yours.
So it's kind of, the first thing I thought of was like getting a spit take, but this is two different styles of the same thing, I suppose, where like, a spit take is you got someone like in a quick kind of way where like they weren't expecting it. And so of course I'm talking about like saying something funny to where someone who is drinking something cannot contain their laughter and, you know, spits the water all over the place.
Sure.
My most recent one was over the summer and you don't get these a lot, you know,
no
matter how funny you are. Cause there are certain things that have to be in order. Someone obviously has to be drinking liquids of some kind.
And something has to happen to set you up so well. I liken it to almost something like DDR. Like you see the thing happen, you think of the thing, you think of the timing, the perfect pitch, and then you say it, you hit the right combination, and it's super funny.
And out goes the water.
Yeah.
So there is something so like immediately gratifying about a spit take because it is like a visual representation of making somebody laugh in a very visceral way, which is very unique and very cool.
Yeah.
But I think even better than that, a more genuine thing, I think, is getting that good, deep laugh from somebody.
And it goes on for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're crying, maybe.
Yeah. It's just where you get that, you know, like, it's not like, yeah, it's, they think about it. It hits them. They laugh. You kind of start continuing talking. Oh, no. They're still laughing. They're still laughing about whatever the hell the thing was. And just to add one more little thing, like one of my most simple pleasures truly is just to make someone laugh in general.
Yeah.
But that's the best one is the real hit me. It hit me hard. Laugh.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to hit everyone in the group the same way. Like, honestly, there'd be something really weird to me if, like, you're talking in a group of, like, five or six people, and all of them are like, ha, 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 like, what is in the air? Like,
what just happened?
Something is wrong. But, like, you just want to get that one person. But there's this amazing thing, like, if you're performing in front of a group of people, like, say, you know, 60 people, whatever, in an audience, and you make a joke, like, kind of, and one dude has that laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody else laughs. And that one guy, it gets him. Like, there is something so specifically gratifying about, like, just knowing one person was like, that shit is hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, there's something, I love it. I love that thing. I wear it like a blanket. I love it.
See, I want to take your number two and I want to add to it. Cause my number two is when you get a whole room full of people like that group of five or six, that something happens. And like I said, you just, it just comes to you and it's so perfect that it gets them. It slays them. The example I thought of, the example that always comes to mind when I think of this is back in college, there was a theater building with a theater lobby where the students would hang out between classes. And there was a student named Jerry. And Jerry was a social disaster. So one day during, During middle of class, there's like a handful of us, five or six, hanging out in the theater lobby. We hear Jerry fuming to himself, and he stomps in. He's like, I can't fucking believe this. And he storms out the theater building, but he doesn't like open the doors. He slaps the doors, and the doors open. You know what I mean? And so he walks out, and we watch him storm away, and I wait a beat, beat. I really wish Jerry and I would hang out more. The room lost it. And that's moments like that is what I live for.
See, it's interesting that I have – whenever a moment like that happens, if I find myself in a moment where, like, I've got the attention of the room now for this at least moment, when I say something big like that, I feel like there's almost a little bit of pressure to keep that thing going, or like the eyes are on me at that moment, and which is fine, but it doesn't let me enjoy that moment all the way.
Oh, sure.
So there's something about when I say something kind of off the cuff to the side that just like one person gets, or like, you know, two, like there's something more intimate to me about that exchange that just really drives me a lot, and I really like that a lot. We're like, cool, that is a connection that you and I had in this moment. Not it because it's only like one to two people, it feels more intense to me than like a dispersed amongst a group.
Sure, I agree. I love that too. I'm not taking anything away from that.
You're taking something away from it.
Right in. Who's right, me or Steve? But to answer to that pressure, I understand, but whenever that happens, I just sit back and make it clear, like, no, I'm done. Like,
right,
that's
right.
It.
I'm out.
That was it.
Yeah.
You've got the show.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. I know my way out of it, all right, Wes? Okay.
Because clearly you don't.
I don't all of a sudden just, like, grab a microphone out of nowhere. I'm like, hey, what's the deal with chestnuts? Am I right?
With chestnuts?
You know. The nut? Not like, you just mentioned scrotums on people's chests. That's what you just did. That's what you were thinking.
That is what I was thinking.
Yeah, wow.
It's like chestnuts. What are you, a pervert? Oh, wait. And then it hit me. what you were talking about.
Nah.
Ooh, boy. Paging Dr. Freud. Ooh, boy.
So our number two, I suppose. Is, well, how would you label yours? Is just getting a group going?
What I write down, getting a huge laugh in the moment. Great, Wes. Really specific.
and mine is spit take / deep laugh. A genuine laugh from someone.
Why don't you, since that was my number two as well.
No, then lead us off with your number one, okay. Wes. I stole yours. Go ahead.
Okay. No. It's fine. My number one. So I'm a single man. I mean, I've been seeing a lady for a few months, but we're not exclusive or official. So I'm consider myself a single man. My number one is the moment right before the first kiss. And I'm talking about, so you're hanging out with a lady, and maybe you met her that night, maybe you've known her for a month or two, but throughout however that length of, long that length of time is, a sexual tension has been building. And then suddenly you two find yourself alone together, and one of you brushes against the other one, and you guys make eye contact, and there's you both inhale just a little bit, and you're like, is it this moment? And then one of you starts leaning in, and then and then you start kissing. You know what I'm talking about? And then
I don't want to wait.
And then my 1B, if you will,
to be over.
Is that moment between the first kiss and the kiss immediately following.
Have to know right now, what does it mean?
Because at first kiss, you're like, okay, get
I
someone.
I don't want to wait.
Okay, she's not.
For our lives to be over.
Okay, that was wanted. She's not running away. Nobody burst into flames. And then the second kiss is when you both let loose and the sexual tension just explodes.
Wow.
You just fall into each other. Yeah, and that's it.
Wes, I feel like you're cleaning it up a little bit for the podcast. Is it the first kiss is what you really mean?
Well, yes, it is.
Okay, just checking. It's a legitimate answer. Just checking.
Because I love sex as much as the next man. Not all sex is very good sex.
Not all sex is created equal.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, but I mean, to be fair as well, not all first kisses are created equal as well.
That's true, but
I feel like you got a better chance. You know, there's less moving parts to a kiss.
Exactly.
Unless she tries to do the Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber, the over-the-mouth suction kiss.
Yeah. I haven't had one of those lately.
No.
But.
No. And also, I mean, speaking as that most base male instinct part of it too. You know, there's that part of the fun of, you know, of chasing, of pursuing said woman is the conquest. And I don't mean that in a graphic sexual term, but like once this woman, you know, decides that it is time for kissing. You know, it's like, cool. That is a conquest in itself. Like, I have shed off the other things and I've gotten to this point. Like, there's a sense of accomplishment to it. There's a sense of, you know, of pride to it, you know, and also the nice thing about a kiss versus your first kind of sexual encounter is that it also leaves room for what's going on in the future as well. You know?
Sure,
The kiss does not seal the deal,
Mm-mm.
but yet potentially opens new doors for you. Which, so it is. It is both an accomplishment and potentially opening new doors to you as well.
Sure, and that's why I brought up the moment between the first and the kiss immediately following, because that's when you guys like kind of check in with each other, like, that was good, right?
Yeah. You feeling all right?
It's good. All right, here we go.
until you pull your face away, she's like,
it's like, oh, I misread the signs.
I've made a huge mistake.
Oh boy, so my name has been Frank. My name has been Nimplet.
This is my dog,
Durf.
Durf, get out of here. Yeah, I mean, there is. Yeah, it is a special moment. And like the culmination of the rising action, if you will, of the sexual tension.
Sure.
And whatnot.
And of course, the 1C, 1D, 1E, all the way through Z, or is the rising action to the first time having sex.
Yeah.
But my 1A
is
that first moment.
Yeah.
Right before that first kiss.
You know what, man? I'll tell you what. Like, there is...
I know you haven't had a first kiss in a while, Steve, so maybe you don't remember.
That is true. I've not had a first kiss in some time.
Yes.
Not that I've not had good kisses, but I've not had a traditional first kiss in some time. But speaking of that, I am reminded during these last 2 years or so of you doing the cool thing, man. Like being the 30-year-old guy doing all right in a major city. You know, doing what you want to do and hanging out with several different ladies and, you know, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, hanging out and successes and failures as that goes. And like, and as when you think about it that way, it's like, man, that's awesome. Like, that's a cool thing. And then I was like, oh, just Steve, like old married guy getting ready to have his first kid. And like, but there is the other side of the first kiss.
Yeah.
To like you're talking about the successful first kiss where the date is going well and there's the flirting and the this and like cool and it all builds up to this climactic moment. But that excludes the like, God, I don't, this text, she's taking too long to text back. Should I text her this? Should blah, this? And I don't know, but she's with, and I don't know. I mean, do I order this? There's a lot of garlic in it. I don't want to have stinky breath and blah, 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 blah. Like, there's so many other parts to until you get potentially to a first kiss, then I'm like, oh my God, no, thank you. Like, no. So, like, I'm going to go home tonight, and I may not have the first kiss, you know, with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have a different kind of kiss with my wife that is like, man, long day. Yeah, me too. Come here. You know, and like, one of those, and like, and off we go with our night, and like, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, like, you know, explosions in the sky, fuck palace, you know, like, it's a different thing, and like there are benefits to the. So like, for those in the long, I know you've been there many times as well in a long term relationship as well. Like, there is something fantastic about that first kiss. There's no doubt. I mean, how many poems and sonnets and songs and movies have been made about the first kiss?
Yeah.
Like, and the journey to get to the first kiss. There's no doubt. But I want to throw a little love out right now for those who are working on your millionth kiss.
Oh, of course. You know? And I'm not taking anything away from that.
I think you are.
Oh, God damn it, Steve.
You son of a bitch.
And I think it speaks something. I don't know what it says about me that when you were describing going on a first and second or first date and you're going to have a first kiss, I just realized how many of my first kisses don't happen on dates.
Yeah, right.
They happen after shows or at a friend's house or.
And that's the way you want it to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're writing the movie version of it, whatever, like, rarely is it going to be like, hey, we go on a date to the coffee shop and then, I like this.
What do you do for a living? Okay.
Lassie is my dog. I'm out.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. You're voting for Trump. Got it. I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's. But all of those things are what make the first kiss so great because you're like, because you got through the text, you got through this, you got through the dinner, or you did the show, you did the whatever, you rubbed legs, this, whatever the thing, you picked up on the clues, and you finally got to this point, and here we go, oh my God, we're kissing!
My God, you must be the most intense first kisser.
I gotta tell you, it's, the suction is complete, tell you that. It is.
The suction is complete.
Tell you what, that don't fuck around.
God.
Telling you what, there is. That's what the ladies like. A good seal.
Are you? Are you ready for the suction?
You don't know about the suction now.
Now, slobber upon vine finger.
So we've been on a date. You know how it goes.
Oh.
That's protocol right there.
Yeah.
I get real excited. And suction is complete, and you may slobber upon mine vena. Go home.
Oh, man.
I am a gentleman.
See, because I just realized that a lot of my first kisses are with people who maybe I shouldn't even get into this. Should I even get into this?
No, whatever, man.
Whatever. Like, a lot of my first kisses are from people who I've known or.
You're a slow burn kind of guy.
So I'm a long, what's the word?
Long term? Long game?
Long game. Like,
long game. Long
yeah,
time.
Like after knowing somebody a month or two, yeah. Like we're in a show together and like halfway through the run, like the sexual tension has been building. And then finally we're hanging out afterwards. The rest of the cast leaves, just us. And then boom, you know, we're.
Yeah.
Suction is complete.
The suction is. I mean, my wife is lucky. Ladies, take a number.
Very rarely have I asked somebody out on a date. I mean, I tried the online dating thing with little success, like
sure.
A couple successes, but little success. And it's just, I find that people, especially in the theater community, don't like the D word. Date.
Yeah.
They want things to happen
because
naturally,
yeah,
organically.
Exactly. Because there are these, you know, these preconceived notions of a date and this and like the walk home and the this and the, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of, we'll come back to a dating podcast later. We'll come back to that later. In the meantime, let me get to my super romantic number one.
Oh boy.
We both went romantic, a number one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at the bar. You're at the club, wherever, the restaurant. Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
The off-pitch bar. That's where you're at. So you're having a good time. You're at the bar. You buy the lady a drink and, you know, whatever it is. And like, oh, you know what? I've hit the old threshold here. If you'll excuse me, madam, I need to run to the bathroom. And as you go to the bathroom, you open that door and you see a urinal. Filled with ice. That's right, my friends. Number one, peeing on ice. You look at me as if this is a foolish thing.
I'm not even looking at you.
I will tell you right now, Wes, have you ever experienced peeing in a urinal full of ice?
I have. It was
nothing. Amazing. Okay. I'll finish your sentence for you. No problem. We're talking simple pleasures right now. We're talking about things in the most minute form. And I will tell you this right now. When I fling open that door and I see a urinal filled with ice, I immediately, gut reaction, no thinking about it, go, yes, it's the best. It is the best. And don't you give me that goddamn look, Wes.
Steve, I don't think I could go with you on this one.
I don't care. I don't need anyone to go with me. Because, again, this is a bigger to a small thing. The bigger deal, I just love outside peas like on a brisk fall day. We're not talking winter.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the harsh winter breeze coming up in the undercarriage. Mm-hmm. What we want is just a nice cooling breeze. Gentlemen, lend me your ears. We all know the situation, especially in the winter where you're wearing perhaps multiple, or in the fall, you've got perhaps heavier pants on, this sort of deal. You've got a lot of heat built up in that area, and all of a sudden, the cooling breeze comes out to you. Don't you shake your head at me, Wes!
I'm shaking my head.
Imagine all of that inside of a building. You get the nice coolness of the ice off of the... And I don't... Wes, you know what? I'm not even talking to you anymore. I'm looking straight at this computer. I'm talking to people out there in listening land. Because if they have not experienced, I'm telling you this right now, gentlemen. If you're having a poker night, if you're having the boys over to watch football, if you're doing what I'm telling you right now, go outside, go down the street, buy yourself a couple bags of ice, throw it in your toilet. Throw it in your toilet right now. You, goddamn it, Wes! There is something so satisfying about peeing into a urinal full of ice that it melts. You're actively doing something, bringing the ice down. It becomes a game where you just try to see how much ice you can melt in one shot. You go back out to the bar, you drink as many beers as you possibly can because you want to go and you want to finish that ice off by yourself. Wes, your
stand
retort.
Back, gentlemen, this ice is mine.
Dude, if you've not experienced it, it is phenomenal. It is great. No need to flush, by the way, when you're done. It's a self-flushing urinal at that point.
I can't go with you on this one.
Why do you not like peeing on ice?
I don't not like peeing on ice. I'm just... Peeing is just a natural function. I don't care where I do it.
Okay, perhaps this. Look at it this way then, Wes.
Oh, boy.
You do something, I don't know, 10 times a day. Just maybe not as much, but let's call it 10 times a day.
Sure.
10 times a day. You go in your own urinal. Or bathroom. You go out to
the restaurant. I have a urinal in my bathroom.
Urinal, whatever. Then you go to a place where you're doing the same thing, but it's different. It's a different spin on the same thing that you always do. And it's like a fucking game. They made a game out of peeing. It's like, how low can this ice get by the time I'm done? Come on, man.
I can't go with you on this
one. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's just who cares? It's just you're just peeing.
It's not just peeing anymore. That's the thing. It's a game.
I think you just like turning everything into a game.
I do, and I can't really turn peeing into a game.
Unless you... How many times a week do you put ice in your own toilet?
Honestly, I've only put ice in my own toilet one time.
Really?
Yeah, and it was because it was after a party... And we were, like, the cooler, like, it was over, we're going to empty the cooler. There's a bunch of ice, and I'm like, no, I know where this ice goes. And I'll tell you what, I melted a lot of that ice. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I'm just saying, like, it's a thing they do in the city, and honestly, they do it a lot here because dudes don't flush the urinals. That's what happens. So you melt the ice in the water, and you know, brings it down by itself with the water that you've created out of the ice. So if you've not had this experience, even in your smaller town, whatever it is, call me. I will fund you to put the ice in your own toilet. Get the boys over. Watch some football. Watch some World Series. Whatever you want to do. Throw the ice in the toilet and see how much improved your pee game is. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, Steve will send you the $1.49 to go get a bag of ice.
I will.
Wow. That's
a
promise.
As long as you write in and tell Wes how wrong he is.
So, okay, I get guys or ladies. I don't know. Do they do this in the ladies' restrooms?
You know what? I don't think they do.
I don't think so either.
Ladies, if we're wrong, let me know.
So, do you guys think peeing in urinals with ice in it is way better than peeing in general.
It is so much better. It is
so
much better.
I can't believe it made your number one.
It's my favorite thing, dude. We're talking, again, we're not talking my favorite things in the entire world. That's not what this is. This is simple pleasures. Okay. It is things that you see and you go, yes. And when I go into a bathroom and I see that that urinal is filled with ice, it is an immediate yes.
Yeah.
Without pause.
Well, I don't want to take it away from you, Steve, but...
Because you can't.
I will not, Steve. You get so much pleasure. You're like little Sammy. You're bursting with joy.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
All right, guys. Well, my top five in review is... My number five is getting a treat or toy for Sammy, just seeing how happy he is. My number four is showing off my kick-ass reflexes and my hand-eye coordination. My number three is monotonous tasks. My number two is getting that big laugh in the moment. My number one is that moment right before that first kiss.
Before she slobs upon mine vena, suckle upon mine vena. Number five. Pizza, beer, video games, see ya! Number four, and by the way, the reason you're gone is because I packed your car to the gills. Number three, kids getting hit in the face with balls. Number two, getting a good hearty laugh / spit take from someone. And number one, walking into a urinal, that's
walking
it.
Walking
into a bathroom and seeing that the toilet / urinal has been filled with ice. Yes.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. We took a little departure from the realm of TV, movies, and video games. We'll be back with something more in that realm next week.
But we want to know about you. We want to know about you. This is a time to show your true self. What do you take great pleasure in that is just so simple. And actually, we want an I am issuing a poll right now.
Okay,
gentlemen and ladies, if you are included, I want to know, is peeing in a toilet / urinal filled with ice vastly superior to that of a regular toilet / urinal? I want to know. Next week, I want to have as many emails as possible verifying that what I'm saying is correct.
Oh, good Lord.
All right, or guys, if you think Wes is right, you can say that too. But you know I'm right.
All right. Oh, well, guys, you can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
You can email us why I'm right. So please us and let me know that you also enjoy peeing on ice.
It's just peeing. It's relieving yourself. Relief is in the name.
But it doesn't mean it cannot be a joy.
You're right. Or a pleasure,
or
even.
A simple pleasure. Well, in the meantime, you can suckle upon mine vena. As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Vess.
That was five.
And the bit out.